If you have a Bible with you, I want you to turn to the Word of God, to John's Gospel, John chapter 1. I want to read the first 14 verses. So John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen. Well, friends, who is the baby in the manger that we have been singing and reading about? What is so special about him that angels announced his birth? Shepherds went to see him, and wise men traveled a vast distance in order to worship him. Why his birth? Why is his birth good news of great joy? And why do we, some 2,000 plus years later, still celebrate his birth? Why is it that the DUP MP for Strangford, Jim Shannon, on the 13th of December, tabled an early day motion in the House of Commons about the real meaning of Christmas, urging government to ensure that people keep Christ in Christmas? What's so special about this babe in a manger, over and above all other babies that have been born? To answer that, friends, think of this. There are four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Gospel means good news. And Mark begins his gospel, Mark begins the good news of Jesus Christ with the ministry of John the Baptist, the one who heralded, the one who announced the arrival of the Messiah. Luke begins his gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, the news that the angel gave Zechariah and Elizabeth that John was going to be born. And then he moves on to talk about the angel Gabriel coming to Mary, announcing that she was going to have a baby. And then, as we know, moves into chapter 2 with the decree that Caesar Augustus issued that all the world should be taxed. And that little passage that we read at the beginning of our service from the shepherds who went to see this newborn babe. And Matthew begins his gospel of Jesus Christ with a genealogy going all the way back to King David and Abraham. As for John, he begins his gospel of Jesus Christ at the same point the Bible begins. The very first words of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God." John 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God." So right away, you see John is telling us something about his gospel, something about this good news. When John says, "In the beginning," and the Bible begins, "In the beginning," John is saying before time, before history, before creation, before sin, this child is eternal. That's what John is telling us. John is telling us that this child had no beginning. You and I have a beginning. There's a point of time when you and I came into existence, when we were conceived in our mother's womb, but not so this child. John is telling us that this child is before time, before history, before creation, before sin entered into the world. So friends, do you see why this child that we're worshiping today, that we're singing about, that we're reading about, do you see why this child is so special? This child that was placed in Bethlehem's manger. And do you see why John starts his gospel this way? You see, John is making claims about who Jesus is, what Jesus does, and what he brings. Who Jesus is? Jesus is God. What he does? Jesus mediates God's work of creation. And what he brings? Jesus brings life. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God. We see that in the first two verses of John's Gospel, which highlight Jesus' relationship to God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now, friends, why does John say Word? In the beginning was the Word. Why doesn't he just say, in the beginning was Jesus? Why doesn't he just say, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God? Well, think about it. Think about the significance of that little word, Word. Think of how you use words to communicate. Think of how you use words to communicate your thoughts and your feelings. We use words to communicate orders, commands, expressions, and concerns. We do it all through words. Jesus is the Word. This means in Jesus, God communicates his thoughts, his feelings, his orders, his commands, and his concerns. He does all of that through his Son, Jesus Christ. So this means that Jesus reveals God to us. Jesus reveals God's character, God's nature, God's power, God's person. This means, John is telling us that Jesus is God's self-expression, that Jesus is God in the flesh. We should never lose the wonder of that, friends, that God became a man. You know, when God speaks, things happen. Think back to the act of creation. God spoke. Simply spoke, and there was light. God spoke, and there was sky. God spoke, and there was dry ground. God spoke, and there was vegetation. God spoke, and there was sun, there was moon, there were stars, there was galaxies, there were solar systems. When God speaks, things happen. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is God speaking. So obviously, when we see Jesus in the Gospels, things happen. We see he brings salvation, sanctification, healings, resurrection, adoption as sons and daughters when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, answered prayer. We see how sinners are given new life. Jesus speaks new life to a dead sinner. We see that we get protection from the evil one. In the beginning was the Word. He was with God in the beginning. The Bible does not say Jesus had a beginning, but he was already there in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let me say it again, friends, and you know it so well. Jesus is God, and Jesus is his own distinct person as part of the Godhead. You see, here John lays down the basis of the Christian doctrine, the Christian teaching of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. That's the message that John wants to put across throughout his little gospel. Jesus is not just a teacher. He's not just a miracle worker. It's at Christmas especially. We celebrate the babe in the manger as God in the flesh. He is divine. Now, come on, friends. This demands a response. Okay, you just can't switch off to what I've been telling you in the past few minutes. This demands a response on our part. This requires faith. This requires obedience. This requires us to bow the head and bend the knee before Him, who is God over all, blessed forever. This requires that we listen to Him. Secondly, what Jesus does, verse 3, tells us all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. John tells us what God does. And he especially highlights Jesus' relationship to creation. Low within the manger lies He who built the starry skies. John makes the point both positively and negatively. Positively, through Him all things were made. Negatively, without Him nothing was made that was made. Jesus is the agent of creation. And Jesus is the only agent of creation. There is no other creator. In fact, there is no other God. This means that when God spoke all of creation into being, He did so through Jesus, the Word. Through Him, all things were made. All things. He made the mountains and the valleys. He made the rivers, the seas, and the oceans. He made the tarantulas and the eagles. He made the cats and the dogs. He made the dinosaurs. He made the galaxies. He made the solar systems. He made that recently discovered planet, wasn't it, on the 17th December, in that Kepler-90 system. He made that planet. Man's just discovered it. Have you ever wondered why John starts his gospel with Jesus' work of creation instead of going straight to His work as Savior? Well, John wants to tell us something important about this babe that was lying in the manger. John is making claims about Jesus, claims that are vital for us and our salvation. Who is Jesus? He is Creator. He is the Creator who made the heaven and the earth and everything in them. He is the Creator who made everything out of nothing. Telling us what? Telling us that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Telling us that Jesus Christ is all-powerful. Telling us that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that Jesus cannot do. Telling us that Jesus must be God. My friends, we need this kind of Savior. We need a Savior who is able to provide whatever we need for body and for soul. We need a Savior who is big enough and strong enough to bear the weight of God's anger against sin and release us, to set us free from it. Friends, come on, can't you see it? This kind of Savior requires a response on our part. This requires faith. This requires obedience. This requires us to bow the knee, to bow the head and bend the knee before Him. Which brings us, thirdly, to what Jesus brings. Verses 4 and 5, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And friends, do you hear what John tells us? John is telling us that Jesus is light. John is telling us that Jesus is the source of life. John is telling us that Jesus is necessary for life. John is telling us that life is not possible apart from Jesus Christ. Life, real life, life with vitality, life with substance. requires Jesus. That's what John is telling us. Life and light to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. You know, so many don't know that they need Jesus. They believe they are okay. They are self-righteous. God will take me, will accept me because I'm a good person. And they never look at that statement in the light of God's estimation of them, where God says, none of you are good. That's why I had to send Jesus into the world. So many people, you know, don't know they are in darkness. So many people won't recognize or accept they are sinners. So many people don't know Jesus is the answer to their need, to their deepest needs. As John puts it in verses 10 and 11, he was in the world. The world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came on to his own, and his own received him not. Many have closed their hearts and their minds to the light. Many have come to love darkness and hate light because their deeds are evil. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He has come to give us light. He has come to shine into our darkness. Therefore, we need to do something. I don't say that we need to do something in order to merit God's favor. I'm saying Jesus Christ has done it all. But friends, we need to repent. We need to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to escape the darkness and embrace the light. You know, would you come to Jesus Christ this morning if you've never done so before? Would you embrace Jesus Christ as your Savior this Christmas morning? Would you do that? Don't reject him as the people of Jerusalem and Bethlehem did. Don't neglect him. Don't ignore him. Come to Jesus Christ alone because he alone forgives sins. And notice what happens when we do. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. That's what he does, friends. When we come to Jesus Christ, when we come to the light of the world, when we embrace him as Savior, we receive the love that he gives, the joy that he gives, the peace that he gives. What was it the angel said? Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Peace. Peace. You know, I remember times when I was at odds with my brother and sisters, and at times when they were at odds with me. And it was, she won't do this, or she won't give me that, or he won't do this, or he won't do that. Harping away at my mum. Mum, she won't do this. Mum, he won't do that. And sometimes mum would put her coat on and head to the door. Would say, where are you going? She says, I'm just going out to get 5 minutes peace. I'm just going to get 5 minutes peace. Don't think there's a mum here that can't identify with that. I just want 5 minutes peace. John Lennon sang, all we are saying is give peace a chance. And in his Christmas song, he's singing, so this is Christmas. And what have we done? Another year over, a new one just begun. And you remember the refrain at the end of that song when the children come in singing, war is over if you want it. We want it. But it isn't over. People cry, peace, peace, and there is no peace globally. You know, you go on the internet in the morning and you read the news feeds. And you see what's taking shape in Korea with the Americans and the North Korean regime. You look at what's taken place recently over Brexit and the ongoing negotiations. And before you have finished your cup of tea, you're practically a basket case, aren't you? Just looking at it. Globally, no peace. Nationally, no peace. Personally. Now, come on, you may have come through the doors of this chapel this morning, and that is the cry of your heart. You just want peace. If only I could have 5 minutes peace. Well, friends, here is someone who will give you more than 5 minutes peace. Here is the Prince of Peace. Do you realize that? We're talking about the Prince of Peace. And he says, if you come to him and embrace him, he will give you a peace which passes all understanding. A peace not for 5 minutes, friends, but a peace for all eternity. And when the Prince of Peace came and ruled in this rebellious heart 37 years ago last night, friends, he brought about a peace which passes understanding. He granted a peace which the sinner didn't deserve. And he granted 37 years thus far of life. That's what Jesus brings. Would you embrace him if you've never embraced him before? Would you embrace him this Christmas morning as your Savior? How does John start his gospel? Where does John start his gospel? In the beginning. He goes back to the beginning and he tells us Jesus is the Word who is God's self-expression, who mediates God's work of creation, and he is the light who brings life. Again, I say, friends, come on, this requires a response. This requires a response on our part. This requires faith. This requires obedience. This requires that we bow the head and bend the knee before him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.